ya si Eye.
Oh.
Though the world may say casting down, though the oceans and seas may roar, though the fires may burn the world, this is what I know. My case is different, 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 different.
Radio Carbon 4.6 FM. It's been a wonderful day. Oh, I can see the wonderful day out there from the windows, but God is good. It's another Tuesday again, and we're coming all the way your ways in Auckland, New Zealand, 104.6 Planet FM. Ah, God is a good God. This song is coming from the camp of Busla Martin. There's no mountain. There's no mountains bigger than what our God can do. Cast all your burdens. These mountains are supposed to remind us about the faithfulness of God. We come before you. I've got a wonderful brother in the city here with me, and he's got a word for you, a word for your friend, a word for your, any of your loved ones. Please take a moment and invite the friend, to invite a friend's friends. That's another wonderful Tuesday again. A powerful word coming from Brother Samuel Kundaya, right in the city here with me, and he's got a word for you. I love his energy. I love the passion. Okay, the audience are all yours, brother.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Praise God. It's a joy again to be in the studios this evening here in Auckland. It's about 6:08 p.m. Every time we have the opportunity to hear the word of God, it's always a fantastic opportunity and a life-changing opportunity. I was just telling Bro Kojo in the house today that it's been a very, very wonderfully busy day, but I thank God for how far he has brought us, and he keeps us for everything that he's, you know, is asked us to do. And I just want to implore you, anywhere you are, if you're watching this and you're tuned in right now, do me a favor, share this with someone right away. I'm doing that right now myself and ensuring that no one misses out on what God is set to do. So anywhere you are, share this message with somebody so that their lives will not remain the same again in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's get right into today's message. Father Lord, we thank you. We bless you for what you're about to do. Father, we know very much well that every time your word is about to go out, it means you are set to bless us. Father, we pray that as we embark on your word today, illuminate our hearts in the name of Jesus. Give us divine revelation that leads to transformation. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So today we are continuing that message, coming to yourself. And we are looking at the part two of that scripture today, coming to yourself. But before I go ahead, I'd like to say that this message is sponsored by the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Victory House, New Zealand. So in case you are watching this, if you're in Auckland, you can fellowship with us at number 14H Clemway Place, Henderson in Auckland. We normally have services on Sundays from the hours of 9:15 a.m. and on Wednesdays from the hours of 7 p.m. And you can join us at 14H Clemway Place, Henderson. And of course, a few things are happening this weekend, by the way. On Saturday, by the grace of God, if you're here in Auckland, you don't want to miss it. You want to join us at ICLC at 8 bar 23 Springs Road, Eastern Mackie in South Auckland. We are having a purpose discovery workshop / masterclass. It's a 4-hour session. It's going to be a thorough session of purpose, discovery, and clarity. I promise you, you would not leave that place on Saturday without some some inclination and cue to your purpose. And of course, if you happen to have a grasp of what your purpose is, you will not leave that place without some clarity and some practical tips to actually implementing and going forward with that purpose of God for your life. It's going to be a phenomenal session. So if don't come alone. Make sure you come with someone. We have limited seats, so you need to make sure that you register as early as possible. And on the 14th, on Sunday, I'll be ministering at Bethel Living Christian Center. Bethel Living Christian Center, by the grace of God, that is in Ellerslie. I've forgotten the address off the top of my head right now. I'm really sorry. But the time is 10 a.m. Bethel Living Christian Center. I'll share the flyer on my Facebook page very soon. So if you're in Auckland, catch all these things happening over the weekend. It's going to be phenomenal and amazing. Praise God. Let's get into today's message. So we started last week on coming to yourself, and we looked at Luke chapter 15. If you're watching this as well, I would love to know where you're watching from. So do me a favor, at some point in time, let me know where you're watching from. When I finish this message, I would give you a reply and just appreciate you. Thank you very much. I can see some of my very wonderful friends. Joshua is watching right now. I can see Samuel Lado as well from Australia. I can see my uncle, Dr. Role, God bless you, sir. And I see my lovely wife, my beautiful wife, my number one fan on there. Praise God. So we're looking at Luke chapter 15. And the Bible says there, from verse 11 to verse 22, just a refresher. It's a story of the prodigal son that probably most of us know. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. That's why we call him the prodigal son. But when he had spent all, then arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. In other words, he became a servant, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. In other words, he was beginning to eat what the swine and the pigs were eating. I will rise, verse 17, but when he came to himself, which is actually the anchor of today's message, when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I have perished with hunger?" Verse 18, "And I will arise." Somebody say, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Verse 20. And he arose. I love that one. He said, "I will arise." And eventually he arose. In other words, he took a decision and eventually followed through with the decision. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and welcomed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And verse 22, "But the father said to his servant, 'Bring out the best robe," woo, "and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet." See, whenever we read this scripture, oftentimes we normally correlate this with a salvation message of someone who, you know, of most of us that have gone, you know, completely perhaps away out of salvation and offended God, and now we've had the message of salvation and we return home like the prodigal son, and our father beholding us and welcoming us. But when I was reading this, there was a different revelation God gave me. And when, especially when I set my eyes on verse 17,
17. But when he came to himself, and God, and I perceived in my spirit God telling me that the difference between, you know, living the life you've been living and being transformed completely and living a changed life is coming to yourself. And I did some study on what it means to come to yourself, and I discovered the Greek word for coming to yourself, or the Greek translation is the word called hiato. Hiato means to have a better mind, you know, to come to your own estimation, to realize your own value, to realize your own identity. Another definition of it is to come to consciousness, you know, and many of us may have lost consciousness of our identity, lost consciousness of the love of God for us, lost consciousness of our purpose, lost consciousness of the plans and God and placement of God's purpose for our lives. And as a result of that, we live anyhow. We live prodigally with the gifts that God has given us. We live prodigally with all the talents that we have. We live prodigally with our time. We live prodigally with our resources. And God is literally saying, hey, it is time to come to yourself. And when you come to yourself, what happens is amazing. That's literally what we're looking at in this message. The man came to himself and came to his senses, came back to consciousness, you know, came back to the value of himself. And what happens when you come to yourself? That's what we're looking at. Number one, we looked at three things last week. Number one, you come to a reconciliation with your identity. Wow. When you come to yourself, you reconcile with the identity, with your true identity. It is no longer the identity the world gives you. How many of us know there are two kinds of identity? There is the identity the world gives you and the true identity that God has given you. Many of us are living the identity the world has given us. Somebody look at you and go, you look like a failure. or they look at your school result and they begin to call you a failure. That's an identity they are giving you. But you must reject that identity and reclaim and reconcile back to the identity that God has given you. Because when God created you, he did not create you a failure. The Bible says he looked at you and said you were good. In fact, you were so good, God was spending time with you. So good that he was coming in the cool of the day to fellowship with you. So good that he looked at you and said, multiply, be fruitful, and have dominion. So no one can call you a failure because your identity is not that of a failure. Amen. And number two thing that we saw was a reconciliation to the love of God. Many times we go through some situations, some circumstances like that prodigal son. He had squandered all, made all forms of mistakes, and it appeared that his life was in shambles and there was nothing to return to. But as soon as he came to himself, there was a reconciliation with the love of God, and he realized that, wow, I've missed it all along. My father actually genuinely loves me. I should go back to my father. I mean, even the servants of my father are enjoying his blessings. How much more me that I'm a son? The guy realized, number one, he reconciled with his identity that he was a son of a king. It was a son that should not be suffering. It was a son that had everything at his disposal. And number two, he reconciled with the love of God. He realized that his father actually loved him. And he was right. Because the Bible says as soon as he was making his way back home, as soon as he was making his way back home, his father saw him from afar and hugged him and kissed him. Maybe somebody needs to reconcile back to the love of God today. You know, you've gone way, way astray. You're one leg in, you're one leg out. You're not really in for God. You're not sure. You know, you keep doing all these things that really, really, really doesn't show that you believe in God. You have a relationship with God, and your life appears to be confused. Listen to me. You can reconcile back with the love of God for your life. And as you do so, your life will not remain the same again. Number three, because of our time, he reconciled with the purpose of God for his life. The purpose of a son is different from that of a servant. And that's why I would never agree with the philosophy that we are servants and servants. We are sons. And that's why God has a purpose for us. And when we come to ourselves, like that prodigal son, it's a reconciliation back to the purpose of God for our life. And I was saying here last week that we have a place in the plan of God for this world. We have a place in the plan of God for his kingdom. We have a place in God's purpose for us. And that's when we come back to ourselves, we realize our place in God's plan. We realize our place in His purpose. And number four, freshly from today, by the grace of God, when you come to yourself, you no longer talk yourself out of your destiny. Hey, I love this one. You instead begin to talk yourself into your destiny. Listen to me. The reason why you keep talking yourself out of the plans and purpose of God for your life is because you have not yet come to yourself. You have not yet come to consciousness of who you are. Come to consciousness of the purpose of God for your life. If you realize the purpose of God for your life, you understand His vision for you, you understand His plans for you, you will no longer talk yourself out. Instead, you will be talking yourself in. Let's look at verse 18 of that scripture, of Luke chapter 15, by the way, if you're just joining us. He says, I will arise and I will go to my Father. This is one evidence of coming to consciousness with the identity of God for you, with the purpose of God for you. You don't talk yourself out of your breakthrough. Instead, you talk yourself into. Listen to me. If before now you've always been talking yourself out of the plans of God for your life, talking yourself out of His vision for you, talking yourself out of the plans and purpose that He has for you, of all the good tidings He has for you, talking yourself out of His gifts for you, talking yourself out of His manifestation for you. Listen to me. God said, I should tell you, the time has come to stop talking yourself out. Now you begin to talk yourself in to it. And if you believe it, wherever you are, say amen. And begin to take practical steps to talk yourself into your purpose. Maybe God has told you to do something and you're like, no, God, I'm not worthy. Hey, like this reminds me of the story of Gideon in the Bible. He was meant to be a deliverer of the nation. But this man was talking himself out. He was hiding in one corner. Hey, he was hiding away from the enemy until the angel of God said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. And that was the last time Gideon ever talked himself out. Hey, that was the last time Gideon ever talked himself out. Reminds me of the story of Moses as well. God said, Moses, come and deliver my people. Moses said, me, I am but a stammerer. But the moment God showed him and he saw the burning bush and realized his identity, realized the purpose of God, and he came to himself. That was the last time Moses ever talked himself out. The same Moses that said, I was a stammerer. The same Moses that said, I cannot do it. I don't even know how to do it. I don't know how to talk. Send me Aaron. Send Aaron alongside me. That same Moses stood before Pharaoh and stand in front of Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Listen to me. When you come to yourself, the confidence that backs up the purpose of God for your life is unstoppable. It's phenomenal. And I want to pray for somebody watching this right now. Everything that has been making you to talk yourself out of the plans and purpose of God for your life, maybe as a result of the fear of failure, as a result of insufficiency, as a result of you thinking you're not capable, you're not enough. Listen to me. That fear begins to disappear right now. In the name of Jesus, you begin to enter into a season of confidence, of breakthrough, of great self-esteem. In the mighty name of Jesus, you begin to get a better revelation of yourself, a better revelation of your true identity, to function in the place that God has for you, to function in that ministry, to function in that career, to function in that country, to function in that zone, in that community, in that platform that God has given you. And so shall it be. No longer will you talk yourself out. You begin to talk yourself into your breakthrough. You begin to talk yourself into your assignment. You begin to talk yourself into your purpose in the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And number five, what happens when you come to yourself? You begin to realize that your mistake does not cancel your purpose. Hey, I love this one. The moment the guy came to himself, like we read in that verse 17, he says, but when he came to himself, he said, wow. He said, and what he said was, like we started that number four, he began to talk himself into his destiny again. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And look at me suffering with hunger. And verse 18 said, I will arise and go to my father. Excuse me, and say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. When you come to yourself, what happens is there is genuine repentance. The moment this guy came to himself, there was genuine repentance. He began to realize that his mistakes does not cancel your purpose, his purpose. Listen to me, and I feel like I'm preaching to somebody right now. Let me look at you eyeball to eyeball. I want to tell you, God is saying, I should tell you, that your mistake does not cancel his plans for your life. Every of your errors, every of your weaknesses, everything that you have done that you are ashamed of, everything that you have done that you are not proud of, God said, I shall tell you that those things do not counsel your purpose. It does not counsel his plans for you. And as you begin to come to yourself and genuinely repent and come back to him and say, Lord, I am sorry. Lord, I have gone astray, but now I have come back. But now I have come back to your purpose. Now I have realized that you love me. Now I have realized my folly. I have realized my mistake. I want to get back into your plans and your purpose for my life. I want to move with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to do your will. I want to get into my assignment. I want to get into the place of my destiny. And this is literally what this man did. He immediately came back to himself. And he started to realize that his mistakes does not cancel his purpose. Even though he begged to be a servant, what happened was he was restored to be a son. His purpose was not to be a servant. His purpose was to be a son. He was restored, completely restored to be a son. And listen to me, no matter what you've done, your purpose isn't canceled. All that God is waiting for you is to come back home. And guess what? The moment this guy arose and went to his father, he was embraced, he was hugged, he was kissed. And listen to me, if you can repent today and go back to your father and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've chased survival instead of purpose. I've chased money instead of your will for me. I've chased people instead of your kingdom. I've chased people. I've chased work and career up and down instead of the assignment that you have for me. And you go back and genuinely listen to me, God will restore your purpose in the mighty name of Jesus. Number six, as you come back to yourself, you will discover that your life will not remain the same again. Woo! This same man that was lost, that was a prodigal, that was actually eating with the pigs, the moment he came back to himself, the Bible says clearly there that everything was just, it was strange. He came back to himself and instantly he got restored. Instantly he got restored. He was no longer feeding with the swine. In fact, the father said, go and get me the best robe. Get me the best clothes. Let us throw a party. My son has returned home. Let us celebrate. To the point that even his elder brother that did not leave home began to say, father, but I've been here all along. How come this guy that was lost, that misbehaved, that did all this nonsense, came back and you're still kissing him and hugging him and giving him the best robe? And listen to me, what is ministered to me right now is the fact that all God wants for you is genuine repentance. He wants you to come back to yourself. And the moment you come back to yourself and you stop chasing survival, but you start chasing purpose, and you stop chasing money, but you start focusing on the purpose of God for your life, you start chasing what people are saying about you, but instead you are chasing what God is saying about you and his assignment for your life and your destiny. Listen to me, what begins to happen, you begin to get the best of God. It does not matter how far you have gone on the wrong road. What matters is that you make a U-turn. And I always say this, no matter how far gone you have been on the wrong road, the day you make a U-turn, the day you turn around, that's the time, instantly, that second, you come on the right road, because you begin to walk on the right path to your destiny. And today is your call to begin to turn around. Hey, somebody, turn around and begin to repent. Say, Lord, I am tired of survival. I'm tired of chasing survival. I am tired of the rat race. Somebody said, even if you win in the rat race, you're still a rat. I'm tired of the rat race. I'm tired of chasing money. I'm tired of just, you know, trying to please people. Now I want to please you. I repent of my sins. I repent of my ignorance. I repent of my negligence. I want to come back to purpose. I want to come back to your will for me. I want to do your plans for me. I want to do your will for me. If you're one of those people, you are saying that right now, I want to pray for you. And we'll continue this message next week by the grace of God. If you're one of those people, you say, Samuel, please pray for me. Like the prodigal son, I've chased survival. Like the prodigal son, I have made many mistakes. I thought, this is me thinking, I've done too much for God to forgive me. I've done too much for my breakthrough to arrive. I've done too much for life to be too good for me again. But and you're saying that genuinely, and you want me to pray for you. You're saying, Samuel, my relationship with God is not okay. Please pray for me. And if you're there, you believe in faith, wherever you are. If you're not driving, put your right hand in your chest, and I'll pray for you. Father, Lord, I pray for this son and daughter of yours that have genuinely come to themselves and realized their mistakes and realized their errors. And they're saying, Lord, I want you to come back into my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want my purpose restored. I want your plans for my life restored. I don't want my mistakes to counsel or negate all the plans that you have for me. And they're saying that wholeheartedly from a genuine place, from a repentant heart. Father, Lord, I pray that you will forgive them. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will heal them. In the name of Jesus, you will restore them, just like you restored that prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. You will hug them. You will kiss them. You will begin to make the best available for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, these ones will no longer fall into the hands of the enemy. From today henceforth, they will begin to do your purpose. They will begin to enter into your destiny. They will begin to enter into all that you have for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, they begin to claim their inheritance in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, and we bless your name. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. There's one more thing we have to do. If you're one of those people that I've just prayed for, you've gone long, long, long on that road. You've chased survival instead of the purpose of God for your life, instead of the plans of God for your life. And you know very much well that I just said that prayer for you. There's one more prayer you need to say, and this one you need to say to yourself. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I come before you today. I come to myself and I ask for your forgiveness. No longer will I chase survival. Instead, I chase your purpose for my life. I want to do your will for me. No longer will I choose to please people, but I choose to please you instead. Thank you, Father. Write my name in the book of life. Purge me clean with your blood, that your work on the cross of Calvary will not be in vain over my life. Restore me back into my purpose for you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Into your purpose for me, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have just prayed that prayer, listen to me. You have just literally talked yourself back into destiny, just like we learned today. And all you have to do is find a Bible-believing church. Make sure you are intentional and conscious about your growth and your fellowship and your commitment and consistency with God. And as soon as you get this sorted, listen to me, begin to do all that he has put in your heart and in your mind to do. Make sure that you are not holding back. Make sure you're not pleasing people. So, change the people you surrounded yourself with, especially if those people are not encouraging you to function in the purpose of God for your life. Make sure you change those people and begin to live in an environment that encourages you to do the purpose of God for your life. And guess what? Like that prodigal son, your life will not remain the same again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And I want to thank everyone that has tuned in to watch us today. I can see my mommy, Tola Amzat. I can see Sister Nettie. I can see my uncle is still there, Dr. Rolle. I can see my wife as well. God bless you all. Thank you so much. I can see my sister Adiola all the way from the United States as well. Thank you all for tuning in today. God bless you. I'll see you again next week when we'll be talking about the part 3 of coming to yourself. Don't miss it. See you now. I'll see you then. Bye for now.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Brother Samuel. Thank you very much. It doesn't. if you win in the rat race, you're still a rat.
Yes, yes. No matter.
I love that one.
Yes. So if you win in the rat race, you're still a rat.
it doesn't matter your position. You are still a rat. It's powerful. It's powerful. I'm going to take that with me.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
God is good. So you are listening to Brother Samuel Akundaya. It was a very powerful message that he was sharing, and I believe that your life will never be the same. Amen. Just continue to tune in every Tuesday. Amen. And your life will never be the same. We're going to listen to a quick music break, and we're going to come back to you. Amen. Right after that. This is coming from the camp of Eben. It's called Victory.
days of my life I praise you. Everything that I have now you gave to me, Baba. Lord, I say for your love I'm grateful. Jesus, you love me plenty, you came to die for me. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, I am that I am. Ooh. Oh, you searched around, there's no one else like you. Lion of Judah, you're the man, the man, the man.
God has given me victory.
He's given me victory.
God has given me victory. God has given me victory.
He has given me victory.
He has given me victory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He has taken away my sorrows and now I'm free. I got me, bro, hallelujah, bro. I got my power, hallelujah, power. Because of Jesus, every day now, shakara, adedu. Double, double, heavenly blessing, now him, receive. Ah.
We're at 104.6 FM. This is coming from the camp of Urban Victory.
He's always the follow me. Yeah.
Where you are, but Lord has given me victory. I got my wonderful man in the city here with me. And we got a wonderful something to discuss as a people. Once you join us on Facebook, please share the video. This is Radio Club 104.6, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. Okay, Raj, you just joined us. Shout out to you, Raj. Thanks for joining us on Facebook.
Jesus has given you victory. Come, let's dance. Let's give
it. Oh, Mayen, thanks for joining us. Mayen is watching us all the way from China. I believe she's from Hong Kong, I think. Hong Kong, rather, yeah. So thanks for joining us on Facebook. And I'm shouting out to you and your wonderful family down there.
Double, double, heavenly blessings, Naim, I did receive. Ah, yeah. God, the address and blessings are with you.
This one is coming from Pese Nyako. I am a said die soon. I will say die soon. It's going to be like a dream to you. We're your club 104.6. I got Kwesi Freddy here in the studio here with me, and I've got Emmanuel Badu as well. And thanks, Irene. Irene, that's my boss, is watching me live on Facebook. Thanks for joining us on Facebook. You're going going to be a wonderful. Is it the problems? Is it spiritual problem or just lack of common sense?
It's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over.
The pressure's off, we feel it. But you got it all, believe it. When you fold it up, oh, oh. And if you fold it up, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. Cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. This time for Africa.
Radio Club 104.6 FM. I'm just coming to you from all the way in Auckland. I'm just reaching all the way from Auckland. I've got a question, Freddie, here, and still hear me. So the topic for discussion today, like I said earlier on, is there are a lot of things happening, and I think whenever we come here, mostly we discuss about issues affecting us in Ghana and things that are going on in Ghana. And I think it's a good thing for us to be able to. Okay, Gerard, thanks for joining us. Gerard, join us on Facebook and all those join us. Once you join us on Facebook, and please share the video. Once you join us on Facebook, so the topic for discussion today is there are a lot of things happening in Ghana, and I'm just going to read them out here for you. And number one is here you go. Okay, so we're talking about issues affecting the dollar, the dollarization of our economy, our export, import, the influx of foreigners coming to Ghana. And we're going to talk about the relationship between the Ghana Association of New Zealand and the Ghana Embassy in Australia. And I think I'll start with Imawi. Let's start from our relationship between the Ghana Association of New Zealand and our embassy in Australia. So I'm going to start with Ima, and just so the ambassador has been in place for more than a year, and we've not heard from him, we've not seen him. It's very unusual, you know, the way we relate to those that we've got in the past. I'm not sure about how much communication is happening there, but normally we would have heard something, they would have come around and all those things, but. What is your take, Ima? What is your take? I'm going to go to Ima first. Ima, what is your take on this?
Let me say hello to our listeners. It's been a while. I've not been here for a very long time. So I just want to say good evening to everyone. Good morning to whoever is listening to us from Ghana. And in terms of the ambassador and his relationship, I think it's a kind of fun. Because if Moses does not go to the mountain goes to Moses.
Yeah.
So if the ambassador is not coming, have we asked the ambassador to come visit us? Has any of our leaders asked the ambassador? Have we requested of him? Have we sent any letter to say that there are a group of people living in New Zealand who demands of him to say hi to us?
Yeah.
I'm not sure any of us have done that. And so it's okay, we can blame him, but we should as well ask ourselves what have we done in a way to invite him here.
Yeah.
I think it's not the best because, and again, it goes to show what sometimes people think when they are given these ambassadorial appointments. Sometimes we think they're just an opportunity to come and relax and take it easy.
Relax.
But it's supposed to be a means to create opportunities. Opportunities between your country and these countries that you're working from. And so it's not the best. I hope he might be listening to us or someone might listen to us and get him to hear that some of us here request of him to at least come, get to know us, share with us his vision for us, get to listen to people. There are people who have been here for a while who may have ideas that could help back home.
Yeah.
And just listening can sometimes help as well. It could be for his own gain. It could be a business. It could be anything. And so we are just requesting that he comes around. But even for me, I tried it. I wanted to renew my passport. I called them. I had a chat to them. They were not forthcoming. So I had to send it back to Ghana.
Oh, so you send your passport to...
Yeah, I had to get someone to do it for me in Ghana. And that took a while. Getting it over here, I was looking for somebody to bring it to me. It took a while. And so there are issues that I think we can talk about once he comes around. And so I think it's better for him to just come by. But I also want to request our leadership here. our president, and the leaders, executives of Ghana Association, that please let's send a letter. Let's send a letter. This one, if the man is not coming, you should just humbly invite him as well. Just say, hello, Mr. Ambassador. This is just to request your kind office to pay us a visit. Mm. It's summer. Come, enjoy some bright sunlight and see New Zealand as well.
Yeah, I
think he may want to come.
Yeah. And you got a Pastor Bernard so watching us in Auckland. So Kwasi, what is your take?
Well, yeah, I think Ben has said it all. Mm. You know, if he doesn't come, you haven't invited him yet.
Yeah.
You know, so it's both of us.
Mm.
So at least he hasn't made an effort, at least 1.5 years, or almost 2 years. He knows there's a lot of Ghanaians in New Zealand.
Mm.
Yeah, but we also need to try our best and invite him and see what happens. If he doesn't respond, then we maybe next we will advise ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe he's going to.
Advise yourself.
Yeah. We appoint a new ambassador.
Ambassador. that we are own ambassador.
We are our ambassador.
Yeah, we advise ourselves. Yeah. That we are own ambassador. Yeah. I mean, for previous ambassadors, the one in Japan, then the other two who came to Australia, they were very, very involved, regular.
Mm.
You see what I mean? And I hope this man also is going to take their steps, you know, follow the same steps, you see, because we need a close relationship with the, between our High Commission and ambassadors. You see what I mean? Yeah, so let's see, you know, from now, maybe Christmas is coming. Maybe we can take the opportunity to invite him to come and see this side of the New Zealand. Like I work for, see how I dig holes. You know, so if they're looking for a construction worker back home, maybe I can be the first, you know, to be invited. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So that's good. Okay, question. So let's add this to the same thing. So normally we have our ambassador, they come, they talk to us, they spend time, you have dinner and all those things. But is it about time that we start looking beyond? They come and spend time with us, go out, you know, all those things, and start looking at how we can, those especially those Ghanaians overseas, can actually use our experience, because most Ghanaians overseas have got a lot of experience. How can we be able to talk to people and get the Ghanaians overseas to use their experience, whatever experience that they've got, to be able to help our country, Ghana?
Yeah, you're making a lot of points. Like, we need to look beyond just for visit, but maybe more than a visit. I think that's the right way to go. But we also don't know what they think, just in case they need our help, because sometimes it's not easy, even for them, it's not easy for them to break through. You know, as we sit behind, we think things are so easy for you to get into. But when you go close to them, because I've been close to most of them, you know, quite a reasonable of them, they've got a good will, but they don't really have the opportunity. That's why they are your high commission, but they don't have it all.
Mm.
You see, but at least one day when they get a visit, we can try to knock the doors and see maybe some doors can open for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ima, just coming to you, because I know you, in the past, you've been quite particular about the issue regarding they actually finding a way to register us, and then also get in touch, especially the Ghanaians who are here to study, not only those who are here to study, but every Ghanaian to be able to try and contribute their part. What is your take on this? Is it about time we need to be able to shift away from the usual visit and start actually finding a very constructive way of actually gaining our people overseas to contribute their part?
Yeah, I think I can't say much about New Zealand, but I know that in UK, for example, there's a very strong, what do you call the UK Ghana Chamber of Commerce, where people who have businesses come together, they talk.
Can you be a bit louder? They said they can't hear you.
Okay, yeah. So people who, in the UK, for example, have the UK Chamber of Commerce, where like-minded people meet, come together with business ideas, and take them home. So they look for investors and take those investors home to invest in Ghana. And these are things you can think about here. I don't know about Australia. I know Australia is bigger. But what can we do in New Zealand? So we have the Asian Chamber of Commerce in New Zealand here. What can we do as Ghanaians? And so those are, I think we cannot only blame the ambassador. There are things we also should be looking at. What are the businesses here that we can take home? Can we look at maybe looking at milk, for example, dairy, for example, meat? what do we, what can we take home, and what can we bring back home here? And those are things we need to also think about as a group. And once we are clear in our minds what we can offer, then it'll be easier to call them and have a discussion. I think the last time the other ambassador came, it was around us telling them about roads in Ghana, issues in Ghana. But sometimes people would want to take businesses home because that's how they make an impact as an ambassador. And so it behoves on us as people to reflect and see what are the opportunities here. What are the opportunities here? What can we do to take businesses back home? What are we doing to help our people back home? And so it's okay for them to come over, but how do we position ourselves to make it coming meaningful?
So for the first time, let's invite them and see. Then we take it from there.
No, it's true. As for the invite, as for the invitation, I think we cannot always complain.
Yeah, we can't always complain.
But we can't always complain. Yeah. The thing is, the man has been here for this while, but he's not visited. Have we invited him? We don't have an excuse. If we invite him and he says, I'm unable to come, then there's an excuse. But even before inviting, what are our plans? Can we look at what are the challenges we face? How do we need him to help us? Because we need him to help us reach out to the government agencies here for business and all of that. But how are we even planning ourselves to get those opportunities? And so for me, I think, yes, he needs to visit us frequently. But if he's just coming to listen to problems, he will not be happy to come.
No, that one is true. You are coming to.
Of course, if he's only come here, only listen to you, tell him about the issues of Ghana. There's no road, there's no water. Last time I went to problems after problems. Why would he come? He was looking for solutions.
Absolutely. And probably, so maybe when he's here, he may be able to find some one or two solutions.
But
so we came to the issue of we invited, but. As an ambassador, you know your mandate is to be able to. You are in charge of Australia and New Zealand. Should the association here be telling you to come and, you know, see what you've been paid to do? You know,
no, you're right. It's supposed to be his mandate. He's supposed to do that. He's supposed to be responsible for us. But he does not just work for us. He's supposed to coordinate other government interests in these countries. So he can. His good excuse is he's busy. So for you to know that the man is not busy and that he wants to come, you stretch an invitation. If he doesn't come, then you have every, we can come and sit here and then we can just give it to him. But that's the test now. We can't because he has not visited. Yes, he has faulted. But have we also invited him? We have not done that. But I'm only saying that I'm sure he will listen to us. Someone will tell him that we are looking forward to seeing him. We really want to meet him. I really want to sit and talk and share ideas, if possible, on how to make...
Then I will tell him my problems.
That's why he's scared to come
here. He's
not here to listen to the problems.
Okay, Damien, thanks for watching us. Okay, so let's come to one of our main issue questions. We were talking about the dollar. You know, in Ghana, we say the dollar is too... The Ghana... to US, we know the US dollar is quite strong, it's quite high, and then it's been they do complain as to why the dollar is so high. The government spends so much money to cushion the economy to try and bring the dollar up. And then the question now is the dollarization of our economy, is it helping us, Kwesi? Are we too dependent on the dollar as a country?
Oh, well, with my experience or just a bit of a history that I've been told and what I've seen, it has never helped us for a long time. It's not just a problem of today. It's the problem which has been there for a very, very long time. And therefore, you cannot just shift the blame to only one administration. During the NDC time, we were just shifting the blame onto President Mahama. You see, but it wasn't a fault of his. It's the whole nation that we're not really doing so much to... Ever since we were born, something like if you ask somebody, what do you do? And he said, oh, I go to Togo and bring some stuff from Togo to Ghana or maybe Abidjan, that time, our time. It wasn't too much of a London, and then slowly became London, Italy, and all that. Then Thailand, and then therefore China as well, and Malaysia. And if someone says that is what he does, it was kind of a prestige. You see what I mean? So we grew up to believe that important going to overseas to bring something is a prestige, and that's what most people adopted. So we're beginning not to think of maybe simple things that we can do. For example, buttons. Just simple buttons. You'd be surprised that we import more than maybe millions of dollars of buttons for our clothes. You talk about maybe mosquito queue. We maybe import maybe millions of mosquito kwe. You see what I mean? And it's not all not helping. Even when you wake up in the morning and you go to your bathroom, look at your shower, your sponge, your sink, your towels. Look at the paste that you use, the toothbrush. You see what I mean? And when you finish, all these things are important.
Yeah.
And even your underpants, your shoes, your clothes. You see, it's not just the food. You see, so what we import is so much that we have overlooked for a long time. You see what I mean? They're including foods, the food that we eat. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, for food that we eat is not so much of a problem, because if you wanted to turn that the importation of food, at least between 5 to maybe 7 years, we should be able to turn things around.
Mm.
You see what I mean? But other things, we need to look at other... I mean, look at even the everything is imported.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Almost you cannot even think of even the drums that we play, the microphones. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's not a problem of the previous government or problem of... I know they are the cause, both, all of them. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Because they are the one who kill the industries.
Mm-hmm.
They might shift the blame to the militaries.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, they are the one who invited the militaries in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So they cannot shift the blame to the militaries. They invited the military to come and take over, and all our industries got killed.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? But it's time to realize that, and you cannot blame the importers, because most people started manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what I can tell from my own experience. I used to know one man called Mr. Wusu, Pioneer Biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
He used to call me Ghana Boys.
Mm-hmm.
I know him personally. And we used to call him Gold Coast.
Mm.
He had an industry doing biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what happened to that man. I was a young boy, about maybe 12, 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So for our leadership hasn't encouraged people to become entrepreneurs, whereby they can begin to think what they can put together in the country and start building up.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a problem of maybe just MPP or just NDC. Let us come together and say, hey, we have a problem. We need to solve it. And we need to stop backing the MPP government or backing the NDC government. Those guys will fool us forever.
So when you go to Ghana, example, and you, like you were telling me earlier, when you go to Ghana, if you go to the clothes you wear, it's important.
Yeah. Even the shoe chain.
The necklace is important. Your, if you go to your tie is important.
Mm.
Your toilet bowl is important.
Yeah,
your sink is important.
Yeah.
The utensil that you use is important.
Important.
The toothbrush is important. The toothpaste
is important.
The tomato paste is important.
Forget about the food wise. Talk about
almost everything is important.
Everything is important.
So the country is hugely dependent on the dollar.
You know what I mean?
For anything. So
anything.
So is it about time you need to start looking?
Yeah. We need, yes.
We start looking at how we're going to turn the whole thing around and become more export.
Export.
That
even not even export as such, but something that maybe we can just locally made and use it. Mm. You see what I mean? Because if you think about exporting, everyone also is trying to control their market.
Thank you, Dr.
Ampofu,
for joining us on Facebook.
Even thanks for bringing Dr. Ampofu in. Dr. Ampofu, hello. And you see, look at the medicine that we import.
The medicine we import.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah,
so it's not easy. You see, whereby we will just blame one political party. And it's not about the, you know, it's about all of us. So we need to start looking maybe something else and say, no, we need to stop the blaming games.
Yeah.
And start focusing what we can do, because there's a lot we can do.
Yeah. Okay, Ima, the dollarization. Is it about time you need to start looking at how the other way around? Like, example, if you look at China, a high dollar is what's in the advantage? Because they're a highly exporting country.
Mm-hmm.
Like New Zealand, for instance, a high dollar, in a way, works better because they're net exporters.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go export, you bring in more, you make more money by your currency depreciating.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas we spend most of our time or energy trying to work it that way around, instead of using our energy to maybe turn the situation around. What is your take on this?
I'll come to that part, the part that you just ended on, which is we spend our money importing rather than producing. I'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, we need to put this whole thing in context. And Akufo-Addo said it very well.
Mm-hmm.
When he was interviewed in US, he said that he admits it's a challenge back home.
Mm.
And so I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Ghana is everything is well.
Mm.
The man himself has admitted it, and he spoke as an elderly.
Mm.
He's been truthful to us. Mm-hmm. He says it's a challenge. So we admit that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, beyond that, if you look at other countries across the world, you just mentioned New Zealand, for example. Today,
yeah.
The dollar rate, the New Zealand dollar is very low compared to the US dollar.
Yeah.
It's been falling since January.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's at the lowest in 22 years.
Yes.
And so there's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
What we are seeing is that the US dollar is stronger.
Yeah.
And again, if you look at countries like Ghana, New Zealand, all the other countries, our dollar is more like the open market.
Mm-hmm.
So people are looking to invest their money. It depends on your interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, currently, the U.S. interest rate is higher. So if I have money, I don't have money. But if I have money, I'll go and invest in U.S. because that's where I'm getting more money.
Yeah.
And so the investors who have brought their monies to Ghana are shifting their money to invest in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so these guys, there's a pressure on us to look for dollars for them. And the more dollars you're looking for, the higher the rate for you. And so your CD will depreciate. So that's the fundamental thing.
Mm.
Now, beyond that, you see, and I always say this, it's chicken and egg.
Mm.
Which one will come first?
Mm.
Now, here we are saying that people, our leaders have not helped because people who started producing stopped producing.
Mm.
There are questions around that. Could there also be that people who were producing realized that they'll make more money if they import rather than produce?
Yeah.
I know of a man who taught me, I went to do some course in Gempa, and he said that when he came back from the US, he started producing toothpick in Ghana.
Mm.
There's a lot of bamboo in Ghana.
Mm.
So he can produce toothpick. But he realized that the cost of production was too high, that if he imported,
it's cheaper.
He was going to make more money than if he produced in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
So which one will come first?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that our own selves, we want more money?
Mm-hmm.
And any businessman wants money.
Yeah.
And so, of course, we look for better options to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this conversation is good to start it, but it's not just about leadership sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the people contribute to it.
Mm-hmm.
But leadership is the cause. Every other thing is the effect. So that I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to put it in perspective. Because there are times that some of our businessmen want quick money.
Mm.
And now if you want money, just as he said, go to China, import, bring it, make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to go and pay water bill, pay light bill, where you just can just go and hire a place, storage or warehouse, import everything, put it there,
and you sell it,
and you sell it and make your money.
Even I've been trying, but even look at the men's gold issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the amount of money that people have just deposited and just go and sit home, and they're relaxing, getting their return, 120% a year returns.
Mm.
And then they just stay home.
Mm.
Where that money could have been invested in the economy and maybe start producing something. But that comes with the quick money as well.
As for the men's issue, if you bring it here, we'll not finish it. But see, the point with them, the other point is that people, some of us are greedy.
Mm.
And some of us are not just greedy. It is just the Ghanaian experience.
Yeah, people has.
Brad Freddy here knows that if you ask him to send money home, he's careful.
Yeah,
because he has his own life experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can't trust the people. So if someone comes and tells you, come and put your money here, go home and sleep. Me, I'll bring you the interest every month. My brother, you go and put it there and go and sleep.
Yeah.
Because if you take this money home and go and invest it, the likelihood that you lose your money is very high.
Yeah.
And so there are issues. I think that it's good for us to think about being productive, producing, a producing economy, so that we can export and make more money. Just as you said, in this country, the dollar rate is going down.
Yeah.
Some of us are crying because it's affecting our fuel.
Yeah.
It's affecting cost of fuel.
Yeah.
It's going to affect cost of food. Because some of our food is imported.
Yeah.
And so food prices will go up.
Yeah.
But again, you don't feel it much because the cost of dairy is going up.
Yeah.
So the country is making more money. And so when you are suffering, it comes to cushioning and the economy grows. And today the Labour government says surplus of 5.5 billion. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so you see, that's how it plays out. But in our case, we are so dependent. So he said he started it so well.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at where he has taken us from, where people started going to Cote d'Ivoire, Mekot Togo, and you always need a dollar to go and do that.
Yeah.
But how do we also tell people not to go when their livelihood depends on it?
On it,
And sometimes it's not the livelihood; it's people looking for more than livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And so, where do we start from?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't envy the leaders.
Yeah.
Maybe so they need my advice. The head that On this lies the head that wears the crown.
Jacob Esuma, thanks for joining us on Facebook. Pastor Pia, thanks for joining us.
Hallelujah, amen, Pastor Pia.
Jacob Tuahini, he's in Ghana. He's watching us. I think watching us from Impressive. So, So the dollarization. So it's about time we need to turn situation around.
We need to call a spade a spade.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? That's what I like. This man, what do you call it? Kane Japan.
Mm.
Most of the time, he call a spade a spade. Mm. It hurts, but at least that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So if the politician can turn out, start changing, and let people understand their situation,
mm-hmm.
and we start working slowly from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can start from small things,
yeah.
and beginning to grow. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of trying to make it like they call it a economic management team. You see, if you don't produce, there's nothing you can do. So beginning to encourage people to start producing, to love what they produce. You see, even now, even the food, people does now they talk about, you know, think. I mean, look at the spoon that you use. It's even imported. They call it cutleries. You see, even imported.
Yeah.
You see, so it's about time for us to start looking somewhere.
Yeah. But you see, the good thing is, and that's what I keep saying, that the good thing is for this government, there's a sense of direction.
Yeah,
there's a sense of purpose that we have not seen for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at, for example, the agri sector, it says planting for food and jobs.
Mm. Yeah,
and so that alone is providing food for people. The next step is how do we begin to process this food and export it?
Yeah.
Last time I went to visit someone here, and the person gave me banana chips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember lots of plantain chips in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
How do we begin to think about exporting these things here?
Yeah.
And that's where we need our ambassador to come.
Because
these are things we need to begin to think about. How do we begin to take our food?
Because
that's what we have.
Because every day when we go, we don't know where to start.
That's the thing.
You know what I mean? Even here, you'll be surprised that if you come to New Zealand or say go to overseas for even 6 months, you go back home, there'll be a lot of changes. You see what I mean? I remember one of my best friends from Nigeria, he made me laugh. He said, once you're in Nigeria and you're beginning to move, you go to go. You for begin work, don't go back home. I said, why? Because by the time you go back, your kids don't take your room now. You make me laugh. You see what I mean? So now when we go, we need somebody to help us to say, hey, when you go, this is where you need to start. And these ambassadors, they are the one who has got that information.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Then he will give us a bit of a directions.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I was talking about this kind of plantain chips and all that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. You look at it, even you talk about yams.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people consume a lot of yams here.
Yeah.
And we've got different varieties of it.
And the good thing about adding processing all those things in Ghana, and because now, especially transporting most of this food in their raw state, sometimes can be a bit difficult. Mm-hmm. But even looking at how we're going to be able to process these things, like talk about plantain chips.
Mm-hmm.
Process them, it's going to last long. You can travel, you can export it for it takes a long time to get where it's going. But compared if you export it in its raw plantain form,
you can't do that.
One of my friends at work gave me from Philippines.
Mm.
It's something from Philippines.
Mm.
That's in Ghana, in Katiki.
Yeah.
It's in a box, like in Katiboga. And then it's exactly in Katiki. And then she bought. She said, if you go to the shop, it's there. And when I look at it, I was like, this is in Katiki. We've been having it in Ghana. They are processing, they've packaged it, and just labeling.
Yeah.
And they just export it. And they go to the shop, it's $2-3.
Yeah.
It's not that much, but it gives you a different sense.
And that's exactly what the government is thinking. That's why I said that the challenge now is that, of course, you can't always tell people tomorrow will be better when today we are struggling. So it's a difficult situation for any developing country president. And I can understand that. Because look at what they are doing. The planting for food is one of the things. The one district, one factory. These are things that are beginning to take speed. And they are beginning to happen. Now if you think about saying that I want every child born in Ghana to have a minimum level of education. At least to get to the senior high school. Now what that brings is that people can then begin to read and write, begin to get into the banking sector, open an account, and we can then begin to have right sources to tax people. And that is how to grow the economy. And so you see, the indicators, what the man is doing, is a long-term thing that relates to each other.
Most of us is not interested.
The challenge, however, what do we eat today till that tomorrow comes?
And that's what we have to sacrifice.
And that's what most people are not really ready to sacrifice, because they think that they need to make their money now. Now, if you take it, let's go slightly to Abu Sokai and some of our brothers who are complaining about the issue around the CTO and the taxing at the ports. And some of us here even complaining. Why should we complain?
Yeah, so to a certain extent, you should complain, because I'm coming in here. Certain extent, you should complain. Because the reason why I've got a few friends whereby they does export from other part of the world. I mean, when you look at it, the money, most of the money, goes into the agent. Those agents are gagging the system. You see what I mean? So it makes some of the input people who import things spend more money.
Okay.
You see what I mean? We recently find out.
So why should we complain about agents or the government?
Where should our complaint be?
No. Let me finish. You see what I mean? Whereby the government, because when the new system came, we thought it was genuine. So you trust your agent. Agent will come and said, okay, supposed to cost you this. For example, shipping the container from here is cheaper. But when you get to Ghana, taking it from the port, it's more expensive. You see what I mean? So when the Abosokan people are complaining, I'm very, not only them, most people, there's a lot government can do about it. Put it this way. For example, Nigeria has got a system whereby if you ship a container, 20-foot container, it gets there, this is how much we charge you, regardless what you put it in. You see what I mean? But in Ghana, they're going to take the item by item.
That's what the new system is trying to change.
Yeah.
So what you are saying is that whatever you are bringing home, whatever you enter on that file that comes along with the container, let's bring it. And that will tell us what you brought, certified and approved that this is what you brought. This is your tax. I don't want us to even divert. What I'm trying to say is that we are talking about us being a producing economy.
Yeah.
Not just a consuming economy.
Yeah.
And to get there would take us thinking far. Because you cannot continue to live in a country where we only buy and sell.
That's what we live on now. There's a lot of things you can start beginning to manufacture them ourselves.
Absolutely. And everything we do is just to buy and sell. And we buy everything from Burkina Faso tomatoes to everything. Everything we buy.
Yeah.
And we end up complaining that, the system is too hard, the system is this. Yeah. But
if we're supposed to improve, like even talking about going to import maybe tomatoes, whereby maybe you're talking about maybe $50 million, and imagine that $50 million goes into my my township. What do you think I would look like? I'll be rich.
That's true.
But we couldn't encourage ourselves to make that money to stay in my hometown. So we went to maybe somewhere else.
That's where the chicken and egg comes in, because I'll go and buy from Burkina Faso because it's cheaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the government has not supported me to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have the land to grow. Mm-hmm. I don't have the money. I don't have the irrigation. So I have to wait and go and buy and bring it. And that's what the government is trying to do, planting for food and jobs. Yeah. So the government is putting in measures that is preparing us for 5-10 years to come.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we eat now?
Then
he did the actual Amazon channel.
Am I coming there? Because I think recently I heard there was a Minister of Agriculture said there's a considerable reduction in importation of maize this year, which is I think it's about.
Is it true? Don't really listen to their big English show all the time. I don't trust them.
Do you have a contrary?
Yes.
We don't want to trust them, but if you have any, can you keep us in the contrary?
Unless we call them, they say maybe, because before Dana came, a bag of maize was about 100 Ghana cedis.
Okay.
But it went up to maybe 1.5 to 2 million cedis. So how can you convince me that the food has become...
So what's the current price of maize?
Now it's about 2 million, 200 Ghana cedis.
And before it was 100 Ghana cedis?
150 Ghana cedis.
150 Ghana cedis.
Yes.
Okay, we don't know, but we take your word. We also go and verify.
Yeah.
But you don't want to have to try the minister. Because, we can also trust him.
Yeah, because I know who buys the maize.
No, I mean, I know you buy maize, but that's why I say we can't.
Somebody buys it.
I was talking to a friend who's an agent, and he was telling me this whole thing, because we're complaining about this whole thing about the high cost of duty and everything. He says, no, but what people are paying now is what they should have been paying. Because what happens sometimes those days when you bring a container, if it's cost, if it, the thing costs eight, if you pay 20,000,
mm-hmm.
you will not get a receipt from the agent. We don't. We when we do container, we don't get receipt. Okay, the agent said it's called 14,000, but then they will pay 8,000 to somebody, take 8,000 to the government, pay two thousand there, and then to you it's cheap, right? Because you have not paid the right amount. Because they distributed about, so only about 4,000 go to the government, mm-hmm. the rest is distributed around. But now the government has tried to block all the holes to the side. You are paying 16,000, meaning that you should have been paying 16,000 2 years ago.
Okay.
But because of the corruption, you are paying 14,000 because you are benefiting 2,000. Yeah. The agent is benefiting.